hello and welcome to Wild Vittles. You know, I've looked at my old episodes and I always start out with, we're doing something different this time. And I guess if it's always different, it's not. So I'm not doing something different. I'm doing a live cooking session and I thought it was time that we do fajitas. And so tonight I'm going to do elk fajitas. And let me get started. So what I have here in the bowl, if I show, it looks like it's just a bowl of greens, but in this bowl that I'm going to put in here, and I'll go ahead and pour it in so you can see all the components of it, are two bell peppers, green bell peppers, two yellow bell peppers, two onions, and one jalapeno. All of them, I would call it rough chopped. And when I say rough chop, it's like you don't want a fine cut on these. Like the onions, these are sweet onions, but you could use yellow or sweet. You could even use red. I cut them from kind of stem to root so that they're long slivers, but then I cut those in half. I cut the bell peppers into strips and cut those into thirds. And then the jalapeno, I just took one jalapeno, cut it in half, cored it to take out the pith, because that's where all the heat is, and then cut that into long strips and then chopped it so it's in little bits. And I poured that into my skillet, and I had some olive oil in it. It doesn't have to be olive oil. It could be whatever kind of oil you want. And now we're going to cook these vegetables down. Fajitas are something that's just really kind of easy. And although I told you I did like two yellow peppers, two green peppers, a jalapeno, and two onions, it really depends upon your meat. Because what you're trying to strike is a balance of meat to vegetable ratio. So you can put whatever vegetables in you want if you just want more onions and less bell peppers or red peppers or green peppers. You don't have to put the jalapeno in because that makes it hot. My wife's not eating this, so I threw in the jalapeno. So step one is to get this cooked down. In the meantime, and you didn't see it because I did it earlier, this is two elk steaks, and they're pretty thick. They're probably 3/4 of an inch. Yeah, probably 3/4 of an inch, and they're top round, I believe. And I already put them on a grill and with some lump charcoal and threw a couple pieces of mesquite in there too. And I cooked them for, it wasn't a very hot fire, probably 8 minutes or so. And that's a long time if you had a good hot fire, but this was more of a kind of a not hot fire with the smoke, and I'm trying to impart some smoke into that meat. There are two different ways to do the fajitas. You can cook your meat and then cut it up and put it in the vegetables, which is what I'm doing today. Or you can take raw meat, cut it into thin strips, kind of like a Philly cheesesteak, and put that in at the same time as well. In either case, I do the vegetables first. And I've done both. But if I have time, if I have the luxury of being able to use the grill, I would prefer to grill the meat whole. I also marinated this, and that's something you can choose to do or not. This is from a bull elk, and so there's something about those steaks out of the back ham. Sometimes they can kind of have a bit of a ruddiness to them, and this is a great recipe for that if you have a ruddy buck. And, you know, it's just got a bit of a flavor of the smell that I get from like a rutting whitetail or a rutting elk, just a little bit. So that's why I put the marinade in there. So I'm digressing. Let me back all the way up. We're cooking fajitas. And fajitas are, it's up there with chili. It's just kind of a base. So I tend to use hindquarter steaks, but if you need to use backstraps, that's fine. I just find that backstraps, they stand up on their own alone without mixing them into something like fajitas. Fajitas, like I said, are a real basic thing. So I'm going to throw into the show notes a recipe associated with these fajitas, but they are guidelines. And they are in no way, shape, and form, like, specific. What's the word I'm looking for? There is a lot of variability around fajitas. I mean, what makes a fajita? Fajita is, I think, thin strips of steak. Traditionally, it was like skirt steak, which skirt steak is actually inside the rib cage attached to the diaphragm, or its flank, heavily marinated and seasoned, and with onions and generally peppers, I think. You know, that's, but I think there's a lot of variability on that. There's seasoning put onto it. I'm going to use some seasoning as well. But the nice thing about it is you can cook it all inside. You can cook it all outside. If I wasn't doing this podcast, I would have cooked all of this out on the grill in my cast iron. But I'm doing it inside for the podcast because the lighting is difficult out there. And my neighbors are a little bit noisy. And I don't want you to hear the kids over there. And my neighbor's always got some building project, too, he's working on. So it would have been distracting. But, you know, it's a very basic recipe. And then I chopped up all these vegetables, yellow pepper, green pepper, jalapeno, and onions. Threw them in to a cast iron that's screaming hot with a little bit of olive oil. I'm going to cook them down until they're soft. Now, it looks like too many vegetables at this minute. They're going to cook down, and if you don't have enough in there, it's going to look like you have almost nothing but meat when you do this. So a lot of vegetables, when they kind of get soft, and it's a bit of a judgment call as to when you put the meat in. I have these two steaks. I'm going to cut them kind of in long strips and then mix them in. I was careful not to cook this steak too far. So when I cut into it, I expect it to be rare. Because they're thin strips, it's going to cook very quickly. When I put the meat into the vegetables and kind of, it's almost like a stir fry at that point, I'm going to put the seasoning on the meat. I'll put a little seasoning probably on the vegetables beforehand. You can use salt and pepper. They sell, you know, fajita seasoning. What I've got, I don't have it marked, but this is Kent Rollins Red River Ranch, and it's salt, pepper, and probably a little bit of garlic. I'm not really sure what all is in this, actually. But it's good stuff. Pick whatever seasoning that you like. You can pick whatever marinade if you choose to marinate. I bought a store brand of Lowry's like steak chop. I've also used teriyaki. You could as easily put a little soy sauce and a little brown sugar. But it just kind of gives it a little bit of sweetness that I think complements well with the smoke. So lots and lots of different options that you can use within your fajitas. Now, once we get these done, you can have them in hard shell tacos, corn tortillas, flour tortillas. I'm doing flour. I have over in this area, for those that are watching on YouTube, my hands pointing to a comal. And essentially a comal is, just think about a cast iron skillet with no sides. And they're generally used to heat up tortillas or to do, you know, like, it's kind of like the serving tray for fajitas too. I like my corn and flour tortillas heated up. And the flour tortillas, I even kind of crisp them up a little bit. So they're borderline, you know, kind of toasted. So I like it. And then we're going to put in, I'll probably put in some cheese. I've got some pico de gallo. You can put a little salsa on them. Really can't go wrong. And then the next day, you can either have warmed up fajitas, or what I'll often do is I'll take what's left and I'll make quesadillas. And I'll make a different, you know, podcast for that. So this one's going to be pretty short, I think. Depends if I record the whole thing with, you know, just the vegetable softening. I am waiting for the steak to rest before I cut into it. But pretty straightforward dish. It's really just saute vegetables, you know, once you've got them all cut up. cook your steak, cut it up, and then mix everything together essentially and just get it to the desired doneness. Probably the most important things I would say is have plenty of vegetables, because your vegetables will cook down to nothing. And do not overcook your meat. So if you're going to cook it on the grill, just make sure that you're doing rare. And make sure that you put your meat into the fajita mix after you've cut it across the grain to make sure that makes it tender, right? That you don't leave it in the fajita mixture cooking too long, because we do not want to make jerky. We're trying to make delicious, tender fajitas. Now, like I said, this is elk hindquarter. Generally, I use whitetail, white quarter. If I'm in a pinch, I may use a backstrap steak, which I know that may shock people, but you know, whitetail backstrap, I've been known to do this as well. But it is a way to make, if somebody doesn't like an elk or a whitetail or mule deer or whatever steak, this is a great way to consume the meat, and the whole family will absolutely love it. And you can make it like on a Sunday night, and this stuff will keep quite well. You could make it ahead of time, and then I take it to work with me, microwave as well. You could warm it up the next night for the family. It, you know, once the vegetables kind of cook down and you put the seasoning in there, it kind of makes a sauce in there that's all gelled together, especially with the meat. And that also, I think, is better the second day, quite frankly, as all of the flavors kind of come together. And I've got my range turned up a little high on purpose because I'm trying to get it to cook fast, which isn't bad because you want a little scorch on some of these vegetables. If I had plenty of time, sometimes I even cook the vegetables, I'll char them on the grill and then put them into the skillet. And it gives your vegetables kind of a smoky flavor as well. So this is going very well. I'm going to put just a little bit of seasoning. And I don't really measure out like how much seasoning. I just kind of mix it depending upon how many vegetables I got in there, how much meat I've got in there, that type of thing. And I tend to put the seasoning in towards the end. Because for whatever reason, there's probably a scientific reason for this, but it kind of makes, I think, the vegetables sweat more when I put the seasoning in there. All right, the steaks have been resting long enough that I'm going to go ahead and cut them. Now, sometimes I'll have, like on this one, there's a little bit of silver skin on the edge. I'll probably peel that off. But, you know, the grain is running. The steaks are already cut across the grain. So what I'm going to do now is cut them in kind of thin strips. And for those that can see on the video, you can see it's rare inside, which is perfect because we want them not to be overdone when we mix them into the fajita mix. So long thin strips, the length of these steaks. I'm going to go ahead and cut these edges off where there's just a bit of silver skin. I should have trimmed that when I was butchering it, and I didn't. And the thickness of the meat really comes down to kind of what you want. Some people want it to be, you know, shaving thin. Others are like, make it thick. My wife likes it, you know, to be pretty thin and bite size, especially as this will go into a quesadilla. You don't want, and the same thing on a taco, right? You don't want, as you're biting into it, to drag out the innards of the taco or the fajita when you because your pieces are too big. So these long pieces are too long, but that's okay because I'm going to cut them so that they're much thinner. Trying to make sure that I don't document myself cutting my finger off. All right, now I'm gonna turn this and we're gonna cut these into small bite-sized bits. This is good. When my vegetables at some point will start to kind of stick at the bottom of the pan, it's getting really hot. You can see some of the onions and peppers are a little bit kind of burnt. And when I say burnt, I don't mean, oh my God, you ruined it. I mean, you know, like when you get a platter of fajitas at a Mexican restaurant or Tex-Mex, this happens, and it's an intended effect. So my vegetables, and for those of you on YouTube, you can see they are cooked down at this point. And so we're ready for the meat now, and I'm going to put this in here. I'm going to put it in a big pile in the middle because I'm going to season it. And for those of you on audio only, this meat is really rare in the middle, on purpose. All right, I'm taking my seasoning now, and I'm gonna kind of douse a pretty good amount. It's gonna look like too much on this meat. And the reason being, it's all gonna mix up and go into that sauce and make it awesome. So now, I have seasoned the meat, I put it in there, and I'm mixing the meat and the vegetables together. And this is the point at which I look at my watch and make sure how long I'm gonna cook this meat. I just want it to begin to not be, you know, pink on the exterior, and then we need to pull it off. Because again, do not overcook your meat. We're making fajitas, not jerky. So I'll recap really quick as this is kind of finishing up. And I think I'm almost done with this actually. What did I do? I took a venison steak. Actually, this is two venison steaks. And cooked it on a grill. Could have cooked it in a cast iron pan. Doesn't really matter. To about a rare state. I had marinated it, but you don't have to. I would recommend at least putting some seasoning onto it though. Set that aside, let it rest, and then I cut up two onions, two green peppers, two yellow peppers. It could have been red or orange, and a jalapeno. Onions, yellow pepper, green pepper, and jalapeno. And then, let me take that again, and we'll do that. I'm going to extract this from it. I took the steak, and I cooked it on the grill that I've marinated, two steaks. You could have done it on a cast iron pan. I would recommend seasoning it if you don't marinate it. And then I took two onions, two green peppers, two yellow peppers. They could have been orange or red, and a jalapeno. Cooked all those vegetables with a little bit of seasoning after they've started to saute. Took the meat, cut it into strips. Then I cut those strips into little, probably, I don't know, 3/4 inch chunks. Mixed that in, put seasoning on the meat. Mix it together, and we now have fajitas. I think this is probably, I'm going to do a little taste test here. They're hot. It's good. It needs a little bit more seasoning. You have to be careful, though, not too much. And then, voila, you can take it off. So I'm just gonna mix the seasoning up a little bit because I like it to be pretty zesty with that, you know, with the seasoning. And then I'm gonna get my tortillas warmed up and I'm gonna take this off of the heat. And it's done. So I will heat up some tortillas now. Let me get this thing going here. If you don't have a comal, they're a lot of fun. I'd recommend it. So I get our Texas grocery store is HEB, and they've got fresh made flour tortillas. And I like to take my tortillas and warm them up on here. They're a little doughy to start with. And if you take a little time and heat them up, they taste like they came from the restaurant. So I will fade to black. We'll come back and I will show you some finished fajitas that are mouthwatering. I hope it's something that you're going to try soon. All right, well, let's make a fajita here. So pretty simple. Flour tortilla that I've heated up on the comal. And I've got my mix here. Try to get a good grab of some vegetables. You can kind of see, if you could see, that mix has kind of got a sauce in it as the vegetables sweat and the meat sweated a little bit. And then I'm going to take a big spoonful of pico. And this is a medium pico that's got cilantro and tomatoes and onions. Try to get a cap at the end of this. Bon appetit. I want to chew in your ear. So what you got there is the green peppers complement with onions, a little bit of jalapeno, the spice, your wild venison in there, all comes together in a delicious, delicious fajita. Very proud of that. Very happy with it. So the whole point of this is really to help you make some wonderful meals with your wild game. And fajitas are a damn good meal. It's very approachable. People that are like, I can't eat deer or elk or moose or caribou or whatever because it's too gamey. Serve them this, they'll be singing a different tune. It is something that you can make quickly. You know, I think I'm slow and it takes me less than an hour to do this from start to finish. I'm confident that some of you out there are probably a lot faster than me and probably could do this in half the time. Keeps really well, makes great leftovers. It'll be great for lunch. Your coworkers will be jealous when they see what you're serving up in the microwave. And I used, I don't know, probably about a pound of meat going towards our goal of utilizing our wild game fully and really enjoying it along the way. And, you know, the whole point of this is bring family and friends together. Everybody sits around and eats these and you can tell hunting stories. Remember the fantastic time that you had and looking forward to the fantastic times to come. So it's all in the show notes if you want the details, but very straightforward, very few ingredients. If you would please do me a favor, and as soon as you get done listening to this, click on a 5-star review for me, please, and leave me a review, and I want some feedback. Hopefully you're enjoying this, and we can be found on anywhere podcasts are found, Wild Vittles Podcast. I'm on Instagram, Wild Vittles Podcast, and I'm on YouTube as the Wild Vittles Podcast. Really easy to find. Thank you and good night.